if the Gemara said, here are three different ways you could do the mitzvah of Dalin Minim. You know, you could just have like one Arava and one Hadas if you want, but if you want more, you could. We never find things like that. It's true that sometimes we find what people refer to as chumras. You know, here's the halacha, and is a chumra that people observe. But to have a Gemara say, here are the three different ways in which you could be mekayim the mitzvah is odd. That's the first thing. The second thing is, you know, the Gemara describes them as being the basic obligation, then mahadrin, then something called mahadrin min ha-mahadrin. And it's worth it to ask, you know, we're all familiar with the term mahadrin. We're familiar with the term hiddur mitzvah. It's important to try to sort out what the relationship is between hiddur mitzvah and what the Gemara describes as mahadrin min ha-mahadrin. So maybe that's a good place to start. I will pull up a sheet. I remember how to do that. There we go. I will make it, it might be too late to make it bigger. Bruce, you could see it, right? You're not going to complain? Okay, fine. I take that as a yes. So let's start as follows. Source number one. The Gemara in Shabbos describes a source for, and maybe even the explanation for, what we call hiddur mitzvah. Here's the Gemara. Titania, kof lamed gimel lamed bet, first source. Titania, the Brisa says, ze keli ve'anvehu. This is a pasuk from where? Anybody? Class participation time?
Ashashir.
Right. So right away, it's kind of a bizarre halachic source for anything. But nevertheless, the Gemara says, ze keli ve'anvehu. This is my God, and I will beautify him in one reading. So, hit na'e lifanav b'mitzvot. A very beautiful philosophic idea. We should try to be beautiful in front of God through mitzvos. What does that mean? The Gemara says, asay lifanav sukkah na'e. You know, you should try to sit in as nice a sukkah as you can. Vilulav na'e, and you should try to buy the nicest arba minim that you can. Vishofar na'e, you should try to buy the most beautiful shofar. Tzitzit na'e, beautiful tzitzis. Sefer Torah na'e, and on and on. The sense you get from the Gemara is interesting. The common denominator between each of the examples, or among each of the examples, is they are object focused, right? Buy a beautiful lulav. Buy a beautiful Sefer Torah, right? Wear beautiful tzitzis. Sit in a beautiful sukkah. It's not about how you do the mitzvah. It's not act-based. It's substance-based. It's, you know, the object with which you do the mitzvah should be beautiful. Okay? This idea doesn't surprise anybody. It presumably, you know, we're familiar with just basic human psychology, which is the more we invest in something and the more beautiful is the object into which we've invested. I think it's the case, you know, if you have a really beautiful sukkah, you'll probably spend more time in it. I don't know that that's what the Gemara means precisely, but, you know, if you have beautiful tzitzis, you'll be prideful of your tzitzis. I have beautiful Shabbos tzitzis, by the way, not to brag. And I, you know, when I put them on, it feels special. That's what we refer to when we say hiddur mitzvah. Now, you ask the basic question. You go to buy dalad minim, and the basic dalad minim, and it's kosher and it's lovely, costs 100 shekel. And then the guy says to you, but I want you to know, I have a really, really beautiful set, and by all accounts, it's more beautiful than the one that you're about to buy. He said it costs 200 shekel. What's the halacha? If there's a concept of hiddur mitzvah, do you have to keep going up and up and up to get the most, you know, the most beautiful one possible? Is that really the case? And then you get the 200 shekel one, and some other guy says to you, that's a nice esrog, but I have one for 400 shekel, and it's much nicer. Then another guy has one, right? Where does it stop? So the Gemara gives us sort of monetary parameters. Source number two. The Gemara is talking about our question. How much? So Ella Amar Rav Zeira Behidr Mitzvah Ad Shlish B'Mitzvah. The din is you are obligated, I use the term advisedly, you're obligated to spend a third more for Hidr Mitzvah. So that means if you're buying an esrog and it's a lovely esrog and it's kosher and it costs 100 shekel, if the guy then says to you, look, I have a nicer esrog, and you look at it and it really is nicer, if it costs 130 shekel, then you're supposed to spend the extra because you're supposed to spend up to a third. If the guy selling you a sukkah shows you what is to you, let's say it's both objectively and subjectively a more beautiful sukkah, so then you're supposed to spend up to a third more. But if the guy shows you a sukkah that's more beautiful, you can't deny it, but it costs 50% more, you are not required. There is a limit to Hidr Mitzvah, and Hidr Mitzvah is defined as one third. Are we clear?
Everybody good? Is Hidr an assay? You're supposed to do it?
It's a good question. It is what we'll call it is a halachic value, meaning it's not one of the Tayag Mitzvahs. You don't find Hidr Mitzvah as a standalone obligation. But yeah, it sounds like halachically, one second, Bruce, it sounds like the halachic guidance is when you go to purchase an object for a mitzvah and you find one that's fine and you find one that's nicer, the halacha is if the nicer one, and let's say the nicer one is, again, both objectively and subjectively nicer. When you look at this other esrog, you see the difference. It's really nicer. So if that's the case, the halacha is you spend up to a third more to purchase it. That's the din of Hidr Mitzvah.
Is it a third of your income or a third of what the original price was?
It's a third of the original price. Are you okay? Okay.
Is there any sense of ostentatious, your neighbors all have a certain type of a Chanukiah, and you can afford one for, I don't know, a few thousand bucks, and that's what you put outside your house. And that would be really beautiful, but is there some sense that might be too much just relative to the community that you're in?
So it's funny. There is a halacha of yuhara that exists. We know it from a bizarre situation. There is the custom or the halacha that when you go to a cemetery, you know, if you wear your tzitzit, that you're supposed to tuck them in because it's yuhara, because it's like you're showing off to the people who can no longer wear tzitzit that you're wearing tzitzit. It's a strange halacha, but it exists. I think that the issue Bruce raises is an important issue. It's hard to define it halachically, but I think there is such a thing as communal standards, and that sometimes, you know, people blow up communal standards. I think you have to feel your way through it. I don't know, on my block when I walk, you know, to shul or whatever, and you see people lighting, I don't know that I think to myself, ooh, this guy's showing off, this guy's not showing off. I remember walking in the old city once, and there was like a staggeringly beautiful menorah, which was like chained to the house, because I guess it's, you know, if you put a beautiful menorah outside, I don't know. I suppose part of it might be your motivation, right? If you want everyone on your block to know that, I was once walking in America with a very, very famous rabbi from Israel, and we passed by a Hummer. Everybody knows what a Hummer is. It's very, very expensive. It's not that good looking. And he said to me, you know, like, what kind of car is this? So I said, it's a really, really expensive car. So he said, but it's ugly. why would a person spend so much money on it? So I said, because you may not want to spend all the time telling everybody that you're rich. So you buy a Hummer, and then everybody knows that you're rich. You don't have to spend all your time telling them, because they'll know. I think a lot of it has to do with motivation. Certainly when it comes to an S, I'll say this. If you cheap out on your S-Rog, because nobody sees which S-Rog you have in shul, but you spend a lot of money on your Chanukiah because you want people to see it, probably that's deficient motivation. We'll leave that there.
Those of us from the old country know, not to make the comparison, Lavdil, but the Christmas stuff, you pass a house that's decked out with the sleigh and the statues and the lights, and it stands out from its neighbors tremendously, and you wonder, why is the guy dropping thousands of dollars on that experience? And it's
the answer is he's extremely frum. You know, we should learn a lesson from that guy with the sleigh. I don't know. Okay, now let's come back to our point. Let's do some math. We just encountered a halacha that says that hijur mitzvah is limited to a third. Right? Beyond that, you're not supposed to spend, or you don't have to spend your hijur mitzvah. It's a third. Now, you know what? Let's read the first source, because it's famous and it's good to read it inside, and then we'll ask a question. Source number three. This is the basic Gemara that describes our obligation to light a menorah on Chanukah. Tana Rabbanan. It's Shabbos Chaf Aleph Amud Bet. That's where there's like two blot of Gemaras on Chanukah. That's all there is on Chanukah. 21 in Masechet Shabbos. Tana Rabbanan. Mitzvah Chanukah Ner Ishu Beiso. Says the Gemara, the basic obligation of menorah is one candle for the house. Doesn't matter how many people in your house. Doesn't matter if you're married. Ner Ishu Beiso. One candle for everybody. Says the Gemara, Vahamahadrin. And for those who are, it's hard to translate Mahadrin, those who want to beautify the mitzvah, those who are more, I don't know, it's, let's just say a level up. Ner lechal echad ve'echad. Okay, everybody, well, I won't say, instead of lighting one candle for the house, you light one candle for each individual in the house. So if you have a wife and nine children, so you light 10 candles every night of Chanukah. That's Mahadrin. Why is it Mahadrin? Presumably because it's going to be more than one candle for everybody. Now, I guess if you live by yourself, if you're single and you have no family, you live by yourself, I guess there'd be no difference. You light one candle for the basic obligation, Ner Ishu Beiso. You light one candle for the Mahadrin, of Ner Lechal Echad Ve'echad. But thank God most of us don't live alone. And so Mahadrin is one candle for every single person in the household. V'hamahadrin min ha-mahadrin, and the highest level, two possibilities. Beis Shamayom Rim Yom Rishon Madlik Shmona. The first night you light 8. Mikan Ve'elach Pochet V'holech. Then you reduce in numbers every night. So you go 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ubeis Hillel Omrim, the Shita we paskin like, Yom Rishon Madlik Achad. On the first day, you light 1. Mikan ve'elach mosif v'holech. Thereafter, you keep adding 1 every night until you get to 8. Okay, now just as an aside, but because we're learning the Gemara anyway, the Gemara gives 2 explanations for the Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. The Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, we all know, and it's famous. Beis Shammai start at 8, go down to 1. Beis Hillel start at 1, go up to 8. What's the explanation? Amar Ula, pligi batre amorai b'ma'arava. There are 2 Amoraim who have a Machlokes in Israel about the reasoning of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Rabbi Yossi Barav and Rabbi Yossi Bar Zvida. Chad amar taima de Beis Shammai kineged yamim hanichnasim. One says the reason why Beis Shammai goes from 8 to 1 is so that people will know how many nights are left. When you light 8, it means you have 8 days left. Then when you light 7, there are 7 days left, and so on and so forth. So it actually educates us about how many days are left to Chanukah. V'taima de Beis Hillel kineged yamim hayotzim. And Beis Hillel is the opposite. They want you to know how many days there were already. Okay, we could talk about that, but that's you know, that's one machlokas. Beis Shammai is doing it because they want to let you know how many days are left, and Beis Hillel is doing it because they want to let you know how many days have passed. V'chad amar, a different explanation for the machlokas, taima de Beis Shammai kineged parei hachag. Now, the reason for Beis Shammai that they go down from 8 to 1 is because it is like...
Bless you.
Relax, it's just on Zoom. Nobody caught it. We're going to be fine. Okay? So what happens on Parei Achag? As we all know, on the first day of Sukkos, you bring 13 parim, and you go down one a day until you get to 7. Okay? So he says that's why Beis Shammai says it. The time of the Beis Hillel, the one that's most famous, the Ma'alin Bakodesh Ve'ein Moridin. A general rule, we always go up in levels of sanctity and we don't go down. So therefore, says Beis Hillel, you don't want to start at 8 and go down because that shows sort of a decreasing level of sanctity. Instead, we start at 1 and we go up to 8. Okay, so again, three basic levels, one candle for the whole house, a candle for each household member, or what we do, a changing number of candles, either Beis Shammai 8 down to 1 or Beis Hillel 1 up to 8. Obviously, we paskin as we always do, like Beis Hillel, first night 1, moving up to 8. Now, before we analyze the Gemara, let's just go back to our discussion of Hiddur Mitzvah, to sort of put this aside. If I wanted to claim that Hanukkah represents a classic Hiddur Mitzvah, what question would you ask based on source number 2 that would make clear that I'm wrong? Remember, source number 2 says you only have to spend up to a third more in order to do Hiddur Mitzvah. Anybody?
So you're spending significantly more if you're doing it each new level.
Yeah, obviously, if the basic mitzvah is 1, and now you're telling me either 1 for each household member or 1 up to 8, I could do the math. 8 candles is 800% more than 1 candle. Everybody see the problem? So I think, and we'll see how this plays out later, most people assume that Mahadrin and Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin, as used in the Gemara that we just read, is not referring to classic Hiddur Mitzvah. The Gemara may use those words, Mahadrin, but it doesn't really mean Hiddur Mitzvah as we understand in the rest of the Torah, because the math doesn't work, because Hiddur Mitzvah is limited to a third. And obviously, every level above one candle involves at a minimum, you know, 100% more spending on another candle or more oil or whatever, up to 800% or even more. Okay, so let's leave that as an aside. Basically, what I've tried to show you is that at least for now, the increasing levels of observance relative to lighting a Hanukkah menorah has nothing to do with what we would call classic Hiddur Mitzvah. It seems that it's something unique to Hanukkah. Okay, we'll come back to that in a minute. But let's see if we can try to figure out what's really going on in the Gemara. Again, one reading of the Gemara is that they're increasing levels. So, for example, the first level is I light 1 for my whole family. The next level is I light 1 for each person in my family. What's the third level? And I'll give you 2 possibilities. Let's assume that there are 10 people in my family, okay, including me. So Mahadrin would mean every night I light 10 candles. Now, what's Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin? Could it be that the higher level involves lighting fewer candles? Because if Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin means just lighting Kineged the night, then even on the 8th night, I will be lighting fewer candles than I would if I just followed the second level of Mahadrin. And therefore, that turns out to be a major machlokas between Tosfos and the Rambam in terms of what are the increasing levels and how do we understand them. So look at source number four. Let's read Tosfos. Tosfos says, "Bahamahadrin min amahadrin nira l'ri." It appears to the ri. De beis Shammai u beis Hillel lo kaimi ela aner ishu beiso. Beis Shammai and beis Hillel are referring back to the basic level of one candle per household. Shekein yesh yoter hidur. Deika hetera hekera kishemosif vaholich o mechaser shehu kineged yamim hanichnasim o hayotzim. Says Tosfos, it's true. According to Mahadrin min Mahadrin, you might light fewer candles than you would according to the second level of Mahadrin. Right? According to the second level, you light one for each family member. So if you have 10, that's 10 candles. Tosfos says, yeah, if you're doing Mahadrin min Mahadrin, it's not a level up on Mahadrin. It's a level up on the basic level. Okay? And how can it be that you're Mahadrin min Mahadrin, even if you're lighting fewer candles? The answer is because there's something better about knowing what night it is as opposed to how many people are in your family. So Mahadrin min Mahadrin, each family lights one candle per night, but when somebody walks past their house, they go, oh, tonight is the third night of Hanukkah. I get it. Whereas if you light per household member, when people walk past your house, they don't know what night it is of Hanukkah because the number of candles that you light is unrelated to what night it is of Hanukkah. It's just related to how many people are in your family. And he finishes in the last full line, Avali imasa ner l'chol achad, afilu yosif mikan ve'elach, leka hekeira, sheyizbru shekach yesh b'nei adam babayis. He says, you know, if you added a candle for each family member every night, so somebody walks past your house, it's the third night, there are 30 candles, he might think, wow, this guy's an enormous family. He has no idea that it's supposed to be reflecting what night it is of Hanukkah. So again, so Tosfos says that the way it works is as follows. Mahadrin min ha-Mahadrin is a takeoff on the basic level. It is not a takeoff on the second level. Therefore, it's true. You may light fewer candles according to the way we do it, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You would light fewer candles than if you lit for each household member, depending on how many people you had in the house. But it doesn't matter because the Hidur mitzvah, the Mahadrin, Min HaMahadrin, is that you are lighting the number of candles that reflect how many days are left to Hanukkah, according to Beis Shammai, or how many days have passed in Hanukkah, according to our Minhag. But either way, that is a Mahadrin, Min HaMahadrin. That's a fancy, a higher level than the level where you light one candle for each family member. Okay? Who disagrees with that? The Rambam. Source number five. Says the Rambam, Kama neiros hu madlik b'chanukah. How many candles do you light on Chanukah? So he says, basic level. Mitzvah sashiye kol bayis hu bayis madlik ner echad. Bein shehayu anshe abayit merubin. Bein shelo hayu bo ela adam echad. First, the Rambam, paraphrasing the Gemara, says, the basic level, right? What your chiyuv is lahalacha is to light one candle every night. That's all. Second, v'hamahaderet hamitzvot, but the next level up, madlik neirot kiminyan anshe habayit, ner l'chol achad ve'achad bein anashim bein ashim. But the second level up is no, you light for each household member, men and women alike. That's what you light. So again, if you have 10 household members, you light 10 candles every single night of Hanukkah. Now, our level, says the Rambam, v'hamahader yeter al zeh, v'osem mitzvah min hamuvchar, if you want to do it in the highest level, like we do, madlik ner l'chol echad ve'echad b'layla harishon,
you light one candle for each family member on the first night. Umosif v'holech b'cholayla v'layla ner acher, ner achad. And each night, you add an additional candle for each family member. Now, how does this play out mathematically? So the Rambam anticipates that we're not 100% sure what he means. So he explains, halacha bet, ketzad. The Rambam says, let's do math. Harei shehayu anshe habayit asara. Let's say you have 10 family members. Now you know where I got that number from, because I can't do math. I just stole it from the Rambam. You have 10 family members. Belaila harishon madlik asara neirot. First night, you light 10. Ubelel sheni esrim. Second night, 10 times 2. Ubelel shlishi shloshim. Ad she nimtza madlik belel shmini shmonim neirot. Till on the last night, you're going to light 80 candles. It's one person lighting, let's be clear. But that person is going to light 80 candles. So that's exactly the shita that Tosos rejected. Again, the Rambam sees it in ascending order. First level, one candle per household. Second level, one candle per household member, same every night. Third level, one candle per household member times the number of days of Hanukkah. What's the Rambam? So the Rambam, of course, is generating the most candles, right? Because he's using two factors. He's multiplying the night by the number of household members. Tosfos says, no, there's not a value in more candles. The highest value is people recognizing what night of Hanukkah it is. And they're not going to be able to do that. You know, if you have five family members, right? So on the last night of Hanukkah, you light how much? Right? So somebody walks by, they know that 64 equals 8 times 8. They have no idea what's going on. So for Tosfos, the highest level is being able to recognize what day it is. For the Rambam, it seems like the highest level is the greatest number of candles lit. Okay? That's a basic machlokes. Now, what's strange is, after the Rambam tells you what the halacha is, he acknowledges what the minhag is. It's hard for me to say this is the only place the Rambam does it, but certainly the only place I'm aware of, and it's very strange. Look at this, halacha gimel. Now the Rambam says, minhag pashut b'chol areinu b'sfarad. He said the custom, the accepted well-known custom in Sfarad, sheyihiyu kol anshei habayit madlikim ner echad b'layla harishon. This is what we do. Everybody lights one candle the first night. Umosifin v'holchim ner l'chol layla v'layla. And everybody individually adds one candle per night. Ad she'nimtza madlik b'leil shmini shmona neirot. Till on the eighth night, everybody lights 8 candles. Bein she'ayu anshei habayit merubim. Bein she'aya adam echad. Whether it's many people or one person. Okay, so that seems like, although it's subject to controversy, it seems like the Rambam says really one person should do all the lighting, but the minhag has developed otherwise, and the minhag seems to be that each person lights on their own. Now the benefit of this is, if done properly, when a person walks by your house, he knows two things now. He knows what night it is of Hanukkah, because each person has their own Chanukiah. And he also knows how many people are in the family, because he sees separate Chanukiah. Now, as we'll see, halacha lemaisa, the halacha warns us, if you have a lot of people in your family, or even if you have just a few, you have to light in a way that a passerby would recognize that these are separate Chanukiah. You know, if everybody has the same menorah and they're in a line, I passed by a house like this. I have a neighbor like this, not this year, but in the previous year. I remember looking, you can't tell. You know, once you get to like 6, it really looks like, you know, somebody lit in a row, you know, 36 menorahs or something, or 36 candles. And you think to yourself, well, it's not the 36th night of Hanukkah. I don't get it. But here you have our result. The result is that everybody lights by themselves. And everybody lights the number of candles connected the night of Hanukkah. And so you have two things now. You have multiple candles. And you also have the ability to discern what night of Hanukkah it is. And that's more or less what's brought down in Shulchan Aruch La'alacha. If you look at source number 6, the Mechaber says, Kama Neirot Madlik, B'layla HaRishon Madlik Echad, Mikan Ve'elach Mosif Vaholeich, Echad B'chal Layla, Ad She'B'leil HaAcharon Yiyu Shmona. So the Mechaber quotes originally, you know, what Tosfos says. One person lights, and one person lights the first night, one up to 8. Va'afilu im rabim b'nei habayit lo yadliku yoter. Even if there's more people, right? It's very simple. One menorah per household, starting with one, going up to 8. There are, by the way, there are svardim, I know, who do this, right? Only the Abba lights. Everybody else just stands there and says amen to his bracha. And there's one chanukiah for the family. That's how the Mechaber pastens. Comes the Rama, Hagah, the Ashkenazi posek, v'yesh omrim, dechal echad mibnei abayit yadli. And some say, which is what he's telling us to do, that everybody lights, v'chein ha-minhag pashut, and that is the minhag. Okay, but if that's the minhag, he says you have to be careful of one thing. If you're going to have multiple people lighting, each person needs to put their Chanukiah in a separate area, so that there'll be ability to discern kama neirot madlikin. Right, again, this basic idea that it's important for passerbys to be able to look and see what night of Chanukah it is, and therefore, the Rama says, if everybody in your family, you know, according to the Mechaber, there's no problem. There's only one menorah being lit. So, of course, you know what night it is. But according to the Rama, if everybody's going to light a separate Chanukiah, which he thinks is the right minhag, separate them. It's not that hard to do. So that passerbys will be able to immediately see what night of Chanukah it is. Okay. So far, so good. We okay? So three basic levels in the Gemara, right? Machlokes Rambam and Tosos as to the third level, but in the end, the minhag seems to be universally accepted that we light from 1 to 8, and each of us does that on our own Chanukiah. Again, you could definitely be Yotze with one Chanukiah, and by the way, if it should happen that somebody in the family is unable to light, so the answer is yeah. You know, if you're lighting, you should have that person in mind, and that person can be Yotze with your lighting. Okay, so far, so good. Now, what about brachos? When do we make brachos? So everybody think for a second, just so that I won't poison your minds, how you do it. You know, when you go outside tonight or you light in your window tonight, when do you make brachos? So let's start. Source number 7. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tov Reish Ayin Vav Seif Bet, Mileil Rishon Ve'elach. So he says the first night you make 3 brachos, obviously, because you add a Shechiyano. Says the Mechaber, Mileil Rishon Ve'elach Mevarech Shtayim. After the first night, you make only 2 brachos. Lahadlik, Asher Shem Sazon Lahadlik Ne'a Shalchanaka, and Asher Sha'asan Nisim La'avotenu Ba'imim Ba'zman Hazeh. Those are the 2. Now, when do you make the brachos? So says the Rama, V'yivarech kol habrachot kodem sheyatchil lahadlik. He says, you should make both brachot before you start lighting. Why? Anybody know? The answer is,
we always make brachot over la'asiyatan. Every single mitzvah that we do, we make a bracha before we eat matzah, we make a bracha before we blow shofar, we make a bracha before we take a lulav, we make a bracha before we eat matzah, we make a bracha before we put on tefillin, we make a bracha, right? That's the standard operating, system of brachos. And the Mishnah
Berurah. Why does he have to tell us that?
Huh?
Well, why does he tell us that?
So first of all, I think he says it in every place. I think so. But there is a theory that may have disagreed. There is a theory that disagreed with the Rama. But first, let's look at the Mishnah Berurah, who's going to explain this. Source number 8, right there. The Mishnah Berurah says, Kam she'atchil la'adlik, de'be'inan she'yihiyu ha'brachot over la'asiyatan. Okay, because all brachot have to be made before you did the mitzvah. Now the Mishnah Berurah asks a practical question. Let's say you were so excited by the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, and let's admit it, we all love the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, you forgot to make a bracha. Hidlik Ner Chanukah v'shachach levarech al hadlakata. So you forgot to make a bracha before you lit. Ah, but good news, it's the second night of Chanukah. You remembered after you lit the first candle, but you still have yet to light the second candles. So he says, "Varak kodem shidlik kulo nizkar da adayin lo birei." So in between 1 and 2, or tonight, in between 1 and 3, you already lit 2. There's still 1 to go. Now you remember, oh my God, I forgot to make a bracha, and I just learned today that the bracha is supposed to be made over la'asiyasan. He says, "Yesh lo livarech kol ha'brachot." You can still make lahalik ner shal Chanukah and she'asa nisim. Od katav shim nizkar la'achar shidlik kulam. But what if you forgot until you lit all of them? Then he says, ein lo levarech birkat lahadlik. Then you can't make the bracha of lahalik ner shal Chanukah anymore. Rak birkat she'asa nisim. However, you can make the bracha of she'asa nisim. V'chein birkat she'achayon yesh lo levarech. And the first night, you would still be able to make a bracha on Shechiyana. Now let's parse this and try to figure out what's going on. Again, if you lit all of the candles without making any bracha, the din is you can no longer make the bracha of Asher Kedisha Mitzvah Tzivanu Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah. And the explanation is clear. Once you've done the mitzvah, there's no purpose to making the bracha. You were yotzei the mitzvah, let's be clear, as in any other mitzvah, if you put on tefillin and you forgot to make a bracha, you got the mitzvah d'oraisa of putting on tefillin. You just lost out on the mitzvah d'rabbanan of making a bracha. Similarly, if you blew shofar and you forgot to make a bracha, if you sat in a sukkah and you forgot to make a bracha, if you ate matzah and you forgot to make a bracha, of course you yotzei the mitzvah d'oraisa. You just lost out on the bracha. I don't mean you just lost out. We want to make brachos. But you did the mitzvah. So here the halacha is clear. If you lit without making the bracha, you can no longer make the birchas ha-mitzvah of Asher Kedisha Mitzvah from lahadlik ner shel Chanukah because you did it already. However, if you still have additional candles to light, you can make the bracha of lahadlik ner shel Chanukah. Why? So going back to our original point, I think the explanation is clear. Because each candle is a mitzvah. It's not just mahadrin. It's not hiddur mitzvah because you don't make a bracha on hiddur mitzvah. This is a special din with respect to lighting candles on Chanukah, where once we accept it upon ourselves, the third level of mahadrin, mina mahadrin, until we light all of the candles, we are still considered to have not completed the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neros Chanukah, and therefore, we can still make the bracha of Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah. Now, why is it the case that even if we lit all the candles, we can still make a bracha of She'asan Nisim La'avoteinu? The answer to that, and maybe, Arthur, that's the answer to your question of why he brought it in the first place, is because She'asan Nisim, it's not clear what kind of bracha it is. It might be a birchas ha-mitzvah, in which case it has to be made before you light,
but it could be, and it's likely what people describe as a birchas haroah. It's a reactive mitzvah. When I see a chanukiah that's lit, I respond to that phenomenon by making a bracha of sha'asa nisim la'avotenu.
But what happens?
One second. It's more like a birchas hodah, right? First, or birchas hashach, first I see lightning, then I make a bracha. First I experience something, and then I make a bracha. So first I see a lit menorah, then I make a bracha. Yes, question.
What happens if I live in an apartment building and people can't see menorah? You're lighting inside on your table. Would you still make the sha'asa nisim because nobody else sees it except for you?
Yeah, because you would make it for you. Obviously, you'd like the mitzvah of pirsumei nisa, but for sure, you could make a sha'asa nisim on your own chanukiah because you're reacting to your own candle. It doesn't matter whose candle it is. The bigger question, and this is really an incredible thing, it's possible, let's say you're walking home from shul, okay? Your minhag is to daven ma'ariv and then to light. Now, while you're walking home from shul, you pass by a bunch of lit menorahs. The question is whether you're supposed to make sha'asa nisim on the first candles that you see. Now, we paskin not, but if you're looking for a really cool chumrah, I forgot who they quote in whose name, that when he walked home from shul, he stared down the whole time because he didn't want to see anybody else's menorah before he lit his own. Because otherwise, I mean, you know, it might be dangerous to walk in traffic that way. In Efrat, maybe less so, but it's a cool chumrah, right? If sha'asa nisim is a birchas haroah, it could be that the first time you see a lit menorah, you're supposed to make the bracha. Again, we don't paskin that way, but it's cool. So so he wants to make sure that the first menorah he sees is his own menorah. So he walks with his head down. Okay, that's the first halacha l'maisa point. Next, what do you do if you're on vacation and it turns out you you're on vacation in Hawaii, and it turns out in the Chabad of Hawaii it's in Honolulu and you're in Kauai. I just made that up. So there's no place. Right, you just have the candles that you brought, and you don't have enough. So how do you parse it? So here's the Mishnah Berurah in source number 9. You're supposed to add a candle every night. So he says, "V'im yesh lo tet neirot." Let's say you have 9 candles for all of Hanukkah, and you can't get another one. Yadlik b'leil sheni shtei neirot. Okay, so the second night you light 2 because that works properly. V'im yesh lo yud neirot. Now, what if you have 10? He says, afal pikein lo yadlik rak b'leil bet, u b'leil gimel lo yadlik shtayim rak achat. Says the Mishnah Berurah, we don't hold that more is better. More is only better if it corresponds to the night. So if you have 9, you light 1 the first night, 2 the second night, and then 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, because that's such a shita. But he says, if you have 10, you have to waste one of the candles because there's no benefit to lighting 2 candles on the third night because it doesn't correspond to anything. So he says again, when we ask ourselves, who do we know, whoever halacha l'maisa has this issue? Meaning, who only lights 1? The answer is, if you're short candles, if you're someplace on the 8th night and you only have 7 candles, the answer is you light only 1 candle because 7 candles on the 8th night is wrong. There is no shita that supports that. Okay, that's the second important halacha. Third important halacha, another vacation one, but this is slightly different. Okay, first basic one, source number 10. First, what happens if it's the last night and you use oil and you don't have enough? So he says, Umisha ein lo shemen harbe. Let's say you don't have enough oil. Yitain be'echad shemen kishiyur. Right? We know that in order to be yotzi the mitzvah, lachatchila, if you're lighting at night, it has to last at least a half an hour. So he says you have to put enough oil in one cup to be absolutely sure that it will burn enough time. And if you're lighting before nightfall, it has to burn a half an hour into night.
v'hamotar, and the extra, he says, yechalek lekulam. Okay, so then you could put a little bit in every other cup. The other ones will blow out quickly. But so what? One will last. Shem ya'asel lekulam b'shavel lo yadlik afilo echad kishiyur. Because the alternative is you put in, you divide equally the oil you have, and now you lit eight wicks, but none of them last the shear. So he says, you're not yotzi the mitzvah that way. Okay? Now, here's the issue that I think is interesting. What if you're on vacation with another family, and it turns out you brought enough candles, exactly the right amount of candles, but they didn't? So he says, "V'im yesh lo shemen b'tzimtzum al kol hashmona yamim." We'll do. It's easy to do with candles, right? You have exactly the right amount of candles for 8 days. V'lechaveiro ein lo klum, but the other family that's on vacation with you didn't bring anything. He says, "Mutav sheyadlik b'chalayla echad." Better that you light one every night. V'yitain gam lechaveiro, and you let your friend have another candle, so that he can light one every night. So nobody's lighting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You're each just lighting 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. Why is that better? He says, "Dahamidina," because as we saw in the Gemara, "Mitzad Hadin, ain't tzarich ela echad." You only really need one candle. So it's better that he and you both light one candle than that you light keneged the yamim and he doesn't light at all.
Okay. Why not have him be Meshutaf with you?
Huh?
Why not have him be Meshutaf?
So watch. So he says, V'davka kishechaveiro eino mibnei beito. O sheino samuch al shulchano. He says, presumably you're in two different houses. So he can't really light with you. But he says, you're right. Aval im hu mibnei beito, mutav shiyahu meha mahadrin. So for example, if you go on a vacation with your family, and your son or your daughter says, listen, I want a light. The proper answer probably is no. If I let you light, then each of us can only light one candle. But if I'm motzi everybody, then I can light keneged the yamim. And that seems exactly right. If you have a choice where you could be motzi him, it's better that you light the right number of candles. But it's in a situation where he's your neighbor, and I don't think it works for you to be motzi your neighbor. He has a different house. You're lighting in your house. So then it seems like the correct result is you each light only one. Okay, good. Another halacha. Last interesting halacha for today. Source 11. How do you light? So this is a toughie. And I was just talking about it in my house last night. It's a little unclear. He says, "Beleil Rishon, Yadlik batchila biner hayoter yemini." When you face your menorah, you should start lighting from the right. Ubelel sheni biyoter smali. Then the second night, you put the new candle in hole number two to the left. V'chein belel gimel next to the left. V'dalid ad yom shmini. Hakol yadlik biner hanosaf, and you always start lighting from the new candle. So you're always lighting from left to right. Va'achar kach ponev v'holech litzad yamin, and then you move from the left to the right. Now he has an interesting halacha. Uvechol ze yarchik et atzmo litzad smol be'et hahadlaka. You should stand. This is a cool chumer, but it's good to do. Let's say it's the fifth night. So he says, don't stand in front of the five candles and then start lighting from 5 to 4 to 3 to 2 to 1. Rather, he says, yarchik et atzmo litzad smol. Stand to the left so that all the candles are to your right. Why? Be'ed kidei sheyifka bo tchila v'lo yitzterech la'avir la mitzvot. Because he says, it's not exactly clear which candle you're supposed to start with. So if you're standing in front of all of them, let's say if you're a righty, you're passing over the others in order to start lighting from the left. He says, if you stand to the left, the first candle you come to is the new candle. So you come to 5, and then you come to 4, then 3, 2, 1, you're not at risk of ma'avirin al hamitzvot, right? You're not at risk as of passing over one candle for the other, because you're gonna light them in the order in which you encounter them. I think that's a cool halacha. Now, the issue that came up in my house last night, and I don't really know the answer, so I'll just share it with you, is it's clear that you're supposed to light from left to right. What's not clear is which way your menorah is supposed to face. I'll explain. If you're inside the house and you're lighting out a window, so you have no choice, right? You have to light from left to right. But let's say me, I light outside in one of those fish tanks. Now I could light with my back to the street, or I could light facing the street. It's clear that either way I'm supposed to light from left to right, but it's not clear which way it's supposed to look from the street. You with me? If I stand facing the street, then I light left to right. And from the street, you know, you see it right to left. If I light face with my back to the street, then from the street, you also see it left to right. I'm not sure exactly how it works, but sort of what's clear is, and I'll come back to the point we started with. What's clear is that on the one hand, lighting a menorah is not a classic din of hiddur mitzvah. How do I know that? I know that, A, because it's not limited to 33% above the cost of the basic level of mitzvah. But more importantly, I know that because so long as I have one additional candle to light, I can make a bracha on that candle, which is not something that normally applies to hiddur mitzvah. On the other hand, what we've seen in the poskim is we should take this one candle a night thing seriously. Because if it should ever happen, you know, if you're in your house and it's the seventh night and you don't have enough candles, the answer is you could light. And I'll use Bruce's example, right? Bruce said before, what if you have a really fancy menorah? Are you like, you know, what are the neighbors going to think? Are you raising the levels of observance or wealth? But what about the opposite? Right? What if you light only one candle tonight because that's all you have? So on the other, on the one hand, like neighbors might say, what an amaretz. And then you could tell them, no, I'm not an amaretz. That's really the halacha. Or maybe neighbors then just drop off money because you can't afford to have, you know, three candles. I know exactly how it works. But the answer is the three levels are real. Even though I think it's probably the case that we have never met a person in our lives who lights the number of candles that are not keneged the number of days of Hanukkah, that shita exists. And I'll just make one more point just to finish. You know, the multiple levels of lighting, I think, corresponds to something deeper about Hanukkah. And that is more than other holidays, except for Purim probably. Hanukkah is a holiday that we created. We rebelled. We were unwilling to live under Greek rule, even though we probably could have, you know. And it strikes me that Chazal set up the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neiros Chanukah to be personal to us. They gave us different levels and different ways to observe to reflect the nature of the holiday, which is really a holiday that's human-driven, right? Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, those are God-driven holidays. But Chanukah is a man-driven holiday. And I think it probably the different levels corresponds to the fact, I suspect, that Chazal wanted us to feel like we have more input into how we do the mitzvah than we would with respect to other holidays. Okay, we ran through some good halachos. We came to some basic fundamental understandings. I hope that helped. Chanukah Sameach to everybody. See you next week.
Chanukah Sameach. Thank you, Ellie.
Okay, bye-bye.
Chanukah Sameach.